All right. Evening, everybody. Let's turn in the Bibles, the book of Revelation. Book of John, Gospel of John. Yeah, I was turning to Revelation, but I figured it might get a little controversial with this group, so I'll just stick with John.
Free German poster.
What'd you say?
Free German poster.
Let's go back to ask all millennial, premillennial, postmillennial, or to somebody I once knew said, see millennial. We'll see. All right. John chapter 7. Yeah. John chapter 7. You guys remember the setting here? Let's see. What is the setting of John chapter 7? What's the location and the event here? What'd you say, Micah?
A feast.
A feast? Anybody know, remember which feast? Kenzie?
Wedding?
Nope, not this one. Mrs. Simpson? This is Feast of Booths. Okay, that's right. Okay, Feast of Booths or Feast of Tabernacles. And if you're a little confused about your feast days, come Lord's Day morning to class. They're going to all show up on the board. Mm-hmm. And we'll get them all nailed down. Okay, this is one of the three really big ones. And it has to do with the end of the harvest. Okay, so that's the setting. Do you guys remember Jesus went up in secret? And his brothers wanted him to go up and make himself known. And Jesus' strategy was different than theirs. His worldly strategy is not what you want to follow if you want to carry out the will of God. Okay? So Jesus goes up there and the long and the short of it is he ends up in the middle of the week, the middle of the feast there, he starts talking publicly. And there's a big audience around him, and here these guys are ready to spring the trap, and they missed. So Jesus is speaking, and there ends up being quite a discussion here about who Jesus is. We're going to pick it up in verse 21. We'll read through verse 29. Tonight we're covering verses 24 through 29, but we're going to start here in verse 21 for our running start. So I'll start with Jennifer, or I don't know if you do that with just Mrs. Love. If you want to start, and everybody just take one verse, beginning in verse 21.
Okay, John what?
John chapter 7. We'll do 21 through verse 29.
21 to 29?
21. You can just start with 21, okay. Yeah?
Jesus answered them, I did one deed and you all marvel.
For this reason, Moses has given you this circumcision, not because it is from Moses, but from the fathers. On the Sabbath, you circumcise a man.
If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because I made an entire man well on the Sabbath?
Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteousness, judgment.
So some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, is this not the man who they are seeking to kill?
Look, he's speaking publicly, and they are saying nothing to him. The rulers do not really know that this is the Christ, do they?
However, we know where this man is from, but whenever the Christ may come, no one knows where he's from.
Then Jesus cried out in the temple, teaching and saying, you both know me and know where I am from. I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. I know him because I am for him and he sent me.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. So, the setting, if you remember, Jesus had healed somebody on the Sabbath. You guys remember that back from John chapter 5? And so that created kind of a ruckus among the Jewish leadership. Jesus wasn't playing by their rules. The point that Jesus is making here is sometimes you got to step back and you got to examine the rule book. Are these God's rules or are these human traditions? One thing in religious circles I know you guys know, but it's important to always be aware of and be wary of, is humans have a tendency to add to the Word of God. And a warning in the Scripture, don't take away from and don't add to. You do either of those things, and God will reprove you and you will be found a liar. These guys were masters at adding to. And so they weren't judging with righteous judgment. They were judging by appearance sake. So Jesus just reminds them, you know, of a couple things. And he says, hey, so people receive circumcision on the Sabbath. These little baby boys that are born, comes around the eighth day. That's on a Saturday. And they're circumcised. And there's nothing, I mean, that predated the law given by Moses. Nothing wrong with that. So you said, so why would it be wrong to make somebody well on the Sabbath? So Jesus is exposing these guys for really who they are. This ultra control on the externals and not being right at all in here. Like I said, you want to do a little more reading on that, you can check out Matthew chapter 23. Will give you a real nice picture there. And unfortunately, guys, that is a majority of religion. It's about controlling the externals, but let's not get too close to the heart. Let's not really touch what's going on inside. And, you know, in a way, it is easier. I mean, in the end, we know the law kills. But on a surface level, it's way easier. Tell me what I'm allowed to do and what I'm not allowed to do, right? Tell me, you know, and I've had a number of people ask me, can you just tell me what to do? That's not the way the new covenant works. Jesus wants us to judge with righteous judgment. That means we're going to have to get on the same page as God to be able to do that effectively, aren't we? We're going to have to think with God's mind. We're going to have to love the way that He loves if we're going to have this kind of judgment. Okay? So, that's where we're picking it up. So, we want to look deeper than the surface. My class hit this last time, but there's a verse from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 that says, examine everything carefully. God wants us to be those kind of people. You work with people that get snowed every single day. People around you, you have conversations, and they either have absolutely zero clue of what's going on, they're just totally spiritually stoned, or most of them that have any sort of awareness have fallen for the lie that's been put out through our major news media or religious circles. So, you know, Jesus is asking people, hey, and God asks us, examine everything carefully. Don't just look at the surface. And it's interesting as this plays out here. There's different responses from the people, aren't there? Some people are kind of getting an inkling of who Jesus is, and other people are just sure this guy can't be legit. It's interesting. You can have people in the same audience who hear something completely, totally opposite or different. You know, it's interesting, me being a preacher, sometimes I'll preach a message and I'll have a few people say, man, that was a great message. I'll have a few people say, man, why were you so mean, or, you know, whatever. And these are people who are Christians, right? So you kind of, people hear stuff differently from the perspective in which they're sitting. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Remember, one of my top 10 lists of Mr. Simpson messages was this one. Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. We're really going to key in on verse 18. I forget where we left off here. Where would you get 16 and Cody 17, and I'll get 18. Luke 8, 16 through 18.
Not the one after lighting the lamp, covers it over with the finger, or puts it under a bed,
nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light.
Therefore, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, should be taken away from him. Guys, there's a final day in which everything is going to be revealed. The motives of men's hearts. But along the way, I'm stealing from Proverbs here, wisdom's shouting on the street corners. Along the way, God has revealed himself in a way that anybody who has ears to hear can hear. But Jesus says something interesting. He said, take care how you listen. Anybody other than Kevin know how Mark's account says this? It says, take care. What, Katya? Take care what you listen to. There's always the voice of wisdom and the voice of folly, isn't there? And there's even somebody like Jesus, when he's speaking the truth, if you want to take something out of context and hear the wrong thing, because you're twisted up inside, you can do that. And that's why there's a warning here. Take care how you listen. Because we're interested in being the people that when that everything's revealed on that final day and our inner man is opened up and laid bare, that it is perfected because we've allowed God to search us. We've allowed His Word to go in and penetrate. We've made the changes we need to make in our lives because we listened to His words and not the lies that take us down the wrong path. Larry.
One thing that always kind of struck me is you really have to listen carefully. If you go to, like, in Proverbs 9, there's two, the woman of folly and the woman of boisterous. And, you know, I've turned there, but the first words that they speak are the same. It says, whoever is naive, let him turn in here to give him a lax understanding. She says, this exact same.
Exactly.
Saying is said from both folly and wisdom. So you really got to listen carefully, especially in today's society, in the mega churches. Come on in.
Yep. Yeah, very, very true. And again, you know, it's. You got the people who add to, and you got the people who take away from. And so sometimes it's like. It's what they're not seeing, too.
It's how you get false doctrine.
What'd you say, Brian?
It's how you get false doctrine.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so Jesus tells us, hey, take care. We got to get picking up the pace a little, but he wants us to be careful what we listen to. Because the words of Jesus are truth. But it's going to take good soil are those who hear the word with a good heart, right? And understand. And so there's always a challenge to us. And from the words of Jesus, hey, listen up with a good and honest heart. Make sure you're listening to His words and not what you want it to say. You know, there are people who, there are lots of people, again, in the religious realm, who they hold to a form of godliness, but they've denied its power. There's a list of these people, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I remember Mr. Love, this was one of his favorite passages, because it talks about in the last days, men will be lovers of self, etc., etc. It goes on from there. But these are people who hold to a form of godliness, but they've denied its power. There's a reason that religion is a good business. Because people's consciences do bother them. And they're looking for something, but most people are looking for the Band-Aid instead of the cure. We want to be people who really want victory over sin and self. So we got to listen all the way to the words of Jesus. Okay, so, and I guess, you know, I'm just going to hope we all pause here and ask ourselves the question. Okay, whenever we're going through the Word, and you know, the words of Jesus to me are very convicting. And you just ask yourself, what kind of person are you? Do I want to do this all the way? Or am I playing games? If I'm playing games, then I'm not going to hear it right, am I? I'm not going to get this right. So we want to make sure that we're the people who want the real deal. So let's flip back to John 7. John 7, verse 25. I'm going to read that again. It says, therefore, some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, is this not the man whom they are seeking to kill? Do you remember when Jesus first asked the question, why do you seek to kill me? This is a few verses earlier. What was the response of the people? You have a demon. Who's trying to kill you? But there's some people, they had an awareness of what was going on. It's like, yeah, these guys are out to get. Isn't this the guy they're out to get? And here's the other side of the audience. People were getting a little awareness of what's going on. And the Jesus is getting their curiosity going. So, you know, we want to remember this. There are people who kind of do have their ears down to the tracks there and trying to figure out what's coming. Those are the people ultimately we're trying to reach. And so we want to be people who continue to tell the truth. And so these guys are surprised here, you know, and is this not the man whom they're seeking to kill? And look, he's speaking publicly and they're saying nothing to him. The rulers don't really know that this is the Christ, do they? These guys are surprised about Jesus' courage. This is the guy they're trying to kill and he's speaking publicly. Let's see. Micah Miller. What are your favorite kinds of movies?
Funny movies.
Alex, how about you?
Avenger.
That's the answer I was hoping somebody was going to say, so I can stop at you. What? Who are the Avengers?
No, Adventure.
Oh, Adventure.
Make Gabriel get right.
Be careful what you listen. You take care how you listen. I knew the answer I wanted, and so I heard what you said wrong. That's a perfect example. Okay, I'm going to go to superheroes, because that's what I wanted you to say, okay? So, you know, those Marvel comics or whatever, how come those things aren't popular? I don't like those as long as I can remember.
Can do stuff we can't do.
Yeah. I think people are looking for heroes still. There's an appeal to that. We want that. I remember, I have no idea what the movie, I never saw the movie. But I remember a preview of this movie, and all I remember is one line out of it. It says, the good guys always win, even in the 80s. I have no idea what movie that was, but I was at a movie and saw that preview. I was like, I like the good guys. We want the good guys to win. I remember a few songs that kind of stuck with me. I didn't listen to worldly music, but it plays around you. And there was some song about heroes. I remember when I was in college. It was just a popular song. People want heroes. Because Jesus is a hero. Here's a guy. The establishment wants to take him down. And he finds a way to beat them. And to get up there and to be able to speak publicly and take them on. And people who are looking for truth and they want somebody to take these guys on. They love that kind of guy. I remember my kids were pumped. One of the most excited things they ever were is that when that dude showed up for the debate here that night. There, Matthew's like sitting next to me, and however many years ago that was, but he's like, oh, Dad, he's nervous. He's back there going, he's like, you got this, Dad. You know, and he was thrilled. You know what? People want you to take on the bad guys. Jesus did. Jesus is willing to. And so I just want to remind us, you know, you guys have heard me say, I've been praying for boldness every day for the last year and a half at least, maybe 2 years, because it's something that I find personally difficult to have in this world, to have the courage that I need to have. Jesus had courage. Be willing to take him on. And guys, when you tell the truth, even when people are out to get you, it attracts truth seekers. We're going to talk about the other group in a second, and that's the excuse makers. But truth seekers are drawn to that. How are truth seekers going to find the truth if nobody has the courage to tell the truth? That's who Jesus is, isn't he? What spirit lives in you? So let's be courageous. And then these guys are saying, the rulers do not really know that this is the Christ, do they? Can you almost see them making the... Why do they want to kill this guy? Do they know that this actually is the Christ? And they don't want competition from the Christ? Anybody remember John chapter 3? How the whole discussion with Nicodemus starts out? Did these guys know really that Jesus was the Christ? What'd you say?
Taking away their business.
Taking away their business, that's for sure.
They had suspicions.
Let's go back there to John 3. What did Nicodemus actually say? Nicodemus was one of these Jews, right? He's one of these rulers of the Jews. And in John 3, let's just read verse 2. Mrs. Love, would you read John 3, verse 2?
Well, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.
He says, we know. Nicodemus doesn't say, I know. He says, we know that you've come from God as a teacher. These guys knew. You know that side of your brain that tries to reject and push away the facts and try to avoid and ignore and come up with all sorts of reasons why this came when you know? That's what's going on here. These guys know. And the audience, some of the audience, the perceptive, the truth seekers, are figuring that out. Because I do think persecution is coming. More and more you see the polarization of anybody who's interested in truth and anybody who isn't. For those who are interested in truth, they're going to start putting some of the pieces together when we're carrying ourselves like Christ. You know, the reality of it is that most ignorance is willful ignorance. I don't have time to hit all the scriptures tonight on this. I just want to hit two. Go to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 6. Thunderbolton, would you get that? Hosea 4, 6.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. Also, I also will reject you for being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children.
Okay, so God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But he says, because you've rejected knowledge. You're going to find the same thing, Proverbs chapter 1. You're going to find the same thing in Isaiah chapter 5. The same principles, because people don't know because they don't want to know. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Does anybody have King James? Yeah, somebody pull that up. I don't know where my phone is. Can somebody pull that up in their phone? 2 Peter chapter 3. New American Standard does us a big disservice on this. Karen, would you get there? Would you read verse 5 and then jump down and read verse 8 as well? 2 Peter 3, verse 5 and then verse 8. Yes, please.
For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water.
Okay, so I just want you to... New American Standard says it escapes their notice. Mm-hmm. What's King James say? does that say? Willfully ignorant of? And then verse 8. What's verse 8 say?
But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day.
So ours says, do not let this fact escape your notice, but this says, don't be ignorant of this. So a lot of ignorance, guys, is a willing, chosen ignorance. These rulers who don't know that Jesus is the Christ is because they don't want to know. We're going to see this by the end of this chapter. Okay? It's going to be really, really obvious. So some people were confused, you know, and we go back to John 7. And so the response when some of the audience, these words start, the questions start coming up, the rulers don't really know that this is the Christ, do they? And then you can kind of hear that among the murmurings among the crowd in verse 27. However, we know where this man's from. But whenever the Christ may come, no one knows where he is from. Do you ever wonder how they got to the second half of that?
They tried to relate that back to that. We know he's a carpenter. We know he's a carpenter. We know he's from here. So they were trying to take it off that he's actually really Christ.
Exactly.
So they're saying, we'll know where he's from. It's here.
Yeah, and they're saying, yeah, Jesus from Nazareth. He's from Nazareth. He's a carpenter, right? I mean, we know where this guy's from. He can't be the Christ, can he? We aren't going to know where he's from. But how about when Jesus was born? Braden, do you remember when Jesus was born and King Herod, the wise men came and they asked King Herod about this Christ who was to be born? Herod didn't know, did he? But you remember who we called in to find out?
Some
of the scribes. Okay? And those guys knew. And they quoted from the Old Testament prophet. Yeah, they quoted from Micah. That's right, Micah. Okay? And they knew it was going to be born in Bethlehem. If they wanted to do the research, they could do the research. Yeah, this guy was born in Bethlehem. They missed it out of Nazareth, didn't they? We'll get to that again by the end, Larry.
People still do that today. You know, they did it in the beginning of Acts. Is, you know, these were uneducated, untrained men. You know, so they pigeonholed the apostles, saying, "Yeah, they can't know anything." Again, it was the ruling elite, the scribes, and the Pharisees. In the day, you know, I'm sure you probably had somebody ask you what Bible college you went to.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, if you haven't been to Bible college, if you're trained in hermeneutics, like you know. Chuck Dowdy was throwing around at the debate. You know, they can't wrap your head around it. And the ruler of those that have been to Bible college and all that, they try to use it against people and say, well, you couldn't know anything. You surely couldn't know anything. You know, and it's the same game that they played with Jesus. They played with the apostles, and they're playing the same game today. The average person can't figure this out.
Right. Exactly. If you remember William Tyndale, you know, put to death.
Yeah.
I know ultimately he was burned at the stake. I can't remember if they hanged him first but for translating the Bible into common English of the common man. And the Catholic authorities at that time, and it's dangerous for that plowboy to have the Bible. We don't want, you know. So you're right. It's consistent. Those who are in authority don't want that. And here's what's sad to me is how many people buy into the craziest stories, the rumors, that, you know, we don't know where the Christ is coming from, so this can't be him. So everybody latches onto that. Oh yeah, I saw the Da Vinci Code. We don't know what's supposed to be in the Bible. Oh yeah, hey, these really nice people came by and invited me to their family function, and that Joseph Smith, and you know, that's pretty good. Yeah, hey, we got another Bible. Why do people latch on to stuff that's ridiculous stories? Because they aren't willing to pursue. They aren't really willing to pursue the truth. There's excuse makers. Excuse, my dad says, there's two kinds of people. He says, you're either looking for a way in or you're looking for a way out. And if you're looking for a way in with God, you're going to pursue truth until you find it. If you're looking for a way out, you're going to make excuses and follow whatever rumors and whatever crazy stories and whatever the latest wind of doctrine that comes along, so you don't really have to follow Christ. We, again, you see this play out. So, you know, the scripture, guys, is full of good information in Christ. You know, it's true for every one of us. You know, I'm going to just talk to you young people for a second that are here. You know, there's Mrs. Simpson and I, we're looking at, I stepped into her room to say hi today, and I noticed the pictures of some kids that have been in her math classroom over the years. I say, man, it's kind of sad, some of the ones who aren't around anymore. You know, the reality of it is, just because you get to hear this stuff when you're a little guy, or a little girl, young lady, and no guarantee you're going to do it. You're going to do this. Every single person comes to a spot in your life and multiple times in your life where you have to either go with truth or you're going to make your excuses. So you young people, I'm just going to emphasize honesty. Super important. Be honest. Even when it hurts, tell the truth. Make yourself tell the truth. Because it's habits of whether you're going to listen to Jesus or whether you're going to veer off on some wacky story that's going to let you do what you want to do. It's the difference between heaven and hell, guys. It's really important. All right? And the same is true, of course, for us adults. So, you know, Jesus says in verse 28, he says, "You both know me and know where I'm from. I've not come of myself. But he who sent me is true, whom you do not know." Basically, Jesus is challenging, check it out. One of my favorite one-liners is, "Truth doesn't fear examination." Jesus is up there publicly, check it out. Go ahead. Okay. So, ultimately, what's he saying? You know me and you know where I'm from. I've not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. Alex, when's your birthday?
The 28th.
Of?
January.
January 28th?
Yeah, 3 days.
3 days. How old are you going to be?
9.
Woo! So, you actually had, there's a day, basically 9 years ago, that you were born. What town were you born in? What hospital were you? Do you know? You were born in Great Falls? Yeah, I was born in Great Falls too. Cool. We could do a little research and we say, hey, you were born on this. Alex was born almost 9 years ago in Great Falls at the hospital. I think it's a different hospital though, because mine they turned into something else, the one I was born in. What did you say? Yeah, Deaconess went to, okay. You were probably born in the same hospital as me. But anyways, so we could check that out, right? And we could check out with Jesus, but Jesus is saying something different here. He's like, yeah, I was born. He doesn't say I was born in Bethlehem, I was raised in Nazareth, but anybody that wanted to check it out could find that out. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He said, somebody sent me. And you don't know the one who sent me. What's he saying there? Gabrielle, what do you think he's saying? What did Jesus... What did you say?
Never met him.
And saying, you don't really know where I came from. So I didn't really just come from Nazareth or Bethlehem. Where is he saying that you really came from? What did you say? Heaven. Exactly. All of us have a birth date that we started from. Jesus had a birth date, but that's not where he started from. He came from heaven. And he's making that claim here, isn't he? Getting these guys' wheels turning. So, you know, anybody, guys, who wants... I like the way God's put this together. Anybody who wants to know, can know. Don't we appeal to people on that today? Who knows 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8? When Jesus comes again, he's going to deal out retribution to those who do not know God. Why? That's not fair. People who don't know God are going to be punished. You're going to be punished for what you don't know. Brayden, have you ever been punished for something you didn't know? You have pretty good parents. Never have. How about something I can think of? I can think of my family growing up. There's a few times I was punished for something I didn't know. But the reason I didn't know is because I didn't do what I was supposed to do to find out. My mom might say, "Hey, I left a note of chores or whatever for you on the kitchen table, or stuck to the fridge or whatever," and you just go home and do your own thing, and you don't want to. I mean, maybe you don't. It's not even that you're trying to avoid it, but you're not following through on what you're supposed to do, and so you don't know, and then you get in trouble for what you don't know. That's not fair, is it? Yeah, it's fair, because you had opportunity to know. God's fair. He's given us all opportunity to know. What's a great verse from the New Testament? I'm going to ask this. I'm going to back it up one question. Is God willing for any to perish? No. What does God want? All to come to repentance. Is there a verse that would tell us that there's a way that everybody could know about the coming day of judgment? There's a way that God has proven to anybody who's looking, to anybody who wants to know, could know. What'd you say?
I don't know where it's at, but I know what it is.
What is it?
If
I get you started?
Through Jesus Christ, he's basically made the example.
So having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world through righteousness, through a man who is appointed, having furnished proof by what? Raising him from the dead. Good job, young guys. I like you guys tracking with it. Hey, there's proof. The proof is the resurrection from the dead. Anybody who wants to know can know. What'd you say, Micah?
It's from Acts 17.
Nice! How do you know it's Acts 17?
Because we already memorized the chapter.
Exactly. Isn't that beautiful? It's amazing what you get out of Bible Bowl practice, isn't it? Hey, that's good to know. Hey, this is good stuff. God expects us to know, and he's given everybody opportunity to know who wants to know. And so, you know, when Jesus, he says in verse 28, he says, "I have not come myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." When Jesus came, he wasn't the Lone Ranger. He wasn't just coming and doing his own thing. Guys, I'm just going to challenge us a little bit as Christians. A lot of us become Christians because we do swim against the current. Even before we were Christians, we maybe had that rage against the machine mentality a little bit. Okay? A little independent spirit. And it was a good thing, because maybe we rebelled against the God of this world. But we do got to be careful. We become Christians. This isn't about doing our own thing. I went to a funeral a few years back, and the song that they played was "I Did It My Way." Yeah, that's not that tells you something about where this gentleman is spending an eternity. You aren't going to do it your way and make it to heaven. It doesn't work that way.
There's only two ways.
That's true. But Jesus is saying, "Hey, Jesus came to do the will of him who sent him, didn't he?" Now, brethren, let me ask you a question. When we were converted, we were born again. Where were we born from? We're born from above, right? So now, our mission on this earth is not to do our own thing. Hey, there's some things along the way, some checkpoints maybe we got to hit in our personal life. But all of those things are secondary, and they have to actually line up with carrying out the purpose for which God sent us. I remember I used to say, Mark Taylor, I used to talk about how we have green cards. And I kind of got that from memorizing 1 Peter. And, you know, we're strangers and aliens, but here we are in a foreign land. And Mark says, basically, I'm going to one-up you. He says, we have ambassadors' passports. And that's true from 2 Corinthians. We've been sent, guys. We're ministers of reconciliation. We're ambassadors of Christ. And so we want to remember that, just like Jesus. We don't come to do our own thing. So we do seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, don't we? Jesus did. And His Spirit does live in us. So I just want you guys all to think about, ultimately, I want to close, I guess, with one passage. Go to Luke chapter 10. Jesus said that He knew God because He was from God, and God sent Him. Nobody can know God apart from Jesus. There's this big religious group out there called the Muslims, and they want to talk about Allah is God. And then there's, people say, well, we all worship the same God. We just get... Hindus have all these gods. I've just been listening to this guy who'd been a Hindu, and his dad was somebody who was worshipped as one of their gods. And he was in the highest, born into the highest caste. And anyways, people, we all worship the same God. Not true. In Luke chapter 10, verse 22, I don't remember whose turn it is here. Is that you, Bolton? Or Mr. Simpson?
I guess it's me.
Go for it.
All right. Just 22.
Luke 10:22. Yep.
All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him.
Aren't you thankful, guys, that God's chosen to reveal Himself to us through Jesus Christ? That if you take care of what you listen to, you can know God through Christ. Then let's take this the next step. Christ lives in us now, right? Don't we say sometimes, hey, you're the first Bible other people are going to read? We want people to have come to know God through the revelation of His Son in us. And then as we get to share the Word with people. So let's imitate Christ and be those who do His teaching, not our own. What do you guys got for prayer requests?